friends. Today, Sarah and I will be talking about the incarnation and the Holy Family with the subtitle, Cui Bono, Who Benefit? All right, the incarnation, defining our terms. The fitting foundation for the incarnation, so the incarnation is the hypostatic union of our Lord in his divinity, his full divinity with his full humanity in the womb of Our Lady, the Blessed Mother. That foundation for which the incarnation will be nourished in will be a family, and we titled that the Holy Family. Our Lord chose, and that's incredibly important, he chose to be born within a family. For what purpose? So as to redeem families. A common theological axiom, that not assumed is not redeemed. Right. This is paraphrasing St. Gregory of Nazianzus, his original response, 329-390, against Apollinarianism heresy, was that Jesus did not have a rational mind. He just had a divinized mind. Right. And St. Gregory would say, no, he had to also have a rational mind because that's part of being a full human. And if he did not have that, then he would not be able to assume the salvation of our rational intellects. So this concept, though it started there with Apollinarius, was extrapolated to include all of our humanity being saved through Jesus's atonement. Thus, through that extrapolation, we can say that the family itself was redeemed through the incarnation. We benefit greatly. Now, who is the cui bono? We all benefit greatly, for we all have come from families in need of salvation. So we can...
Right. What was it that you had said? What was the phrase that Apollinarius used, or the phrase from which they extrapolated that if he didn't have a right, if he didn't have a human intellect?
Not assumed, but is not redeemed. That part, or...
Yeah, that part. Say that again.
The heresy was that Jesus only had a divinized mind or mind of God. He didn't have a rational mind.
Right. So as Christ had to embrace all of that, or none of man would have been saved, right? Only his body, perhaps, right? His mind could have been, right?
Right.
So, and the expression was that not assumed?
That not assumed is not redeemed. Mm-hmm. So if there was some part of humanity that our Lord... Sin, of course, is not part of humanity. That's part of the fall. But that's not how the Lord created us. But if there was something the Lord did not take on, he couldn't redeem it. And I was in a class, and a bunch of individuals there worked with Christ in the city. And mm-hmm. Jesus is taking on of poverty, for example, redeems poverty. It's not that being poor is of a good, but it is that if you are poor, you are not outside of the parameters of salvation. Right. So that seed concept can be extrapolated out to any which way, short of sin.
Right. Well, I mean, within the spirit. Right. I mean, the redemption is from sin. It's to restore us to the naturalness. So, that's very interesting. I'd never heard that expression before. But it's a very concise way of articulating what the incarnation in its profundity actually is. It simplifies it to something that is knowable or comprehensible, I think.
That's correct. So the definition of the Holy Family in this is from the Catholic Encyclopedia. Stravinsky is the editor. So the definition of the Holy Family is, by this name is known the grouping of the sublime community comprised of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Mother, and her chaste spouse, Saint Joseph. It is often referred to as the Holy Family of the Holy Family of Nazareth as well, since that's where they lived, primarily, when they returned back from Egypt. Since the individuals involved in this happy consortium were of such dignity and holiness, the Holy Family has always been regarded by the Church as the exemplar and model for all Catholic families, and by extension, there's a desire to extrapolate, as the exemplar of all persons living in community, whether active or contemplative. The loving faith, obedience, and providence of hard-working Saint Joseph, the faith, love, obedience, and strength of the Blessed Mother, the perfection of the Son of God made man, who submitted himself in obedience to a human mother and a foster father. Thus, in the earthly Trinity of Jesus, Mary and Joseph can be found a perfect model of all virtues, both personal and social. But not only were they holy, saintly, and virtuous, they also lived a human life like ours, which makes it possible for us to seek to imitate them and their virtues.
Yeah, I think that that's, especially when you think that, obviously, one of the beautiful things from that element is that, you know, the Catholic Church has always taught that when you live in a state of grace, you know, when you are that state of grace is you living as intimately with God as possible, and the more that you are aware of that grace, the less that you are likely to sin, because you're going to become eminently aware of your own faults. And, you know, the more that you are examining your conscience, the closer you come to grace, right? It's this repeating circle that brings us closer and closer to God. I mean, the opposite can happen, right? The less you pay attention to grace, the more likely you are to sin, right? But with this story, with the Holy Family, you think how concretely that is visible, because Christ was in their home, right? Mary was always full of grace. And so insofar as Joseph was close to the Blessed Mother and to, you know, the source of grace, right, and to Christ, his foster son, how God is capable of keeping us from, let's say, our lesser selves, and amplifying the goodness within us.
Indeed. All right, my friends, in the next episode, we'll pick up with the attributes of the Holy Family. To the next time, Fides et Ratio.